Hello, I'm your host, Kelly Eckhart, and welcome to The Future Edit. Hello and welcome back to The Future Edit. I'm your host, Kelly Eckhart. Now this week, I have Hedy from Nymph of Neptune on with me. She's an astrologer, tarot card reader, birth chart reader, and also a psychic. Now I've had the pleasure of working with Hedy a few times, and she's really opened my mind spiritually and helped me grow as a person. Now, also a really great thing is she's going to be our monthly astrologer. So each month she's going to come on and talk to us about what she's learning and what's happening in the sky. So if you have any questions for her, please do send them my way and I will ask her each month for you. And today we're going to get to know Hedy a bit more. We're going to talk about her work, how she got into astrology, and what's up for her in the future. So without further ado, let's talk to Hedy. So thank you, Hedy, for being here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to first start off with a bit of an introduction of yourself and also give a bit of your background. And then we can talk about how you kind of got into the direction you're going in with your astrology and your intuition.
Okay, so I started Nymph of Neptune. Let's start when I discovered astrology. I discovered astrology along with Reiki and yoga and pretty much all of the main pillars of my spiritual practice after a very bad breakup. Okay. So it was one of those university relationships, but I really felt like I had really failed in some way. And I didn't know anything about astrology, but I wanted to see where we had gone so wrong and why. And so I scratched the surface of astrology on the internet and discovered moon signs and Venus signs and all of their meanings and went down a bit of a rabbit hole of research. And that was the beginning and I've never stopped. And it's been, 8 years on.
Wow.
And that's how I got into it. I was just in a very sort of dark place and looking for answers, I guess.
Yeah. And so when you're scratching the surface of astrology, because there's so much out there, mm-hmm. How did you know kind of where to look? Were you guided naturally or was it kind of, yeah, how did that go for you?
I think it was more of an obsessive sort of, okay. Read every single result on the first 5 pages of Google and then decide for myself. You know, you start to learn who the good sources are and who the reputable writers are, and there's also so many different schools of astrology. So there's a medieval school of thought, and then there's also Vedic astrology, Kabbalistic astrologers, and then I think I just got a very basic beginner's book. And then it was very mathematical. It was actually quite systematic, my approach. So I would sort of look at each of the planets in each of the signs, so 12 times however many combinations that is, and really sort of take notes and soak it all up. And I did that for about 4 or 5 years until I started to do it for friends, to start to read birth charts for friends.
Okay. Wow. So you really dived in there then. And so then did you go to school for astrology or were you all self-taught?
So I'm self-taught primarily. And now I'm in my first year of doing an MA in astronomy and astrology.
Okay.
But most astrologers are self-taught in the beginning. There are a few different schools. Some of them are very traditional. The one that I'm doing is a bit more avant-garde and sort of combines philosophy of cultural astrology and also studying Carl Jung and his use of astrology.
Yeah.
So more of the sort of psychological modern astrology, which is what I would consider myself, a sort of modern astrologer.
Okay. Yeah, that's really interesting because I'm just now getting into Carl Jung as well because I liked his approach. And like you said, there's so many different aspects of astrology, but the psychological one is what really I find super interesting as well.
Yeah, I think it's the most transformative because I think it definitely it places the most emphasis on our free will and on interacting with the planets in a dynamic, empowered way.
Yeah. Now, okay, so you're self-taught, you're doing your MA. Because as you started to dig deeper into this, because you use a lot of, you know, you tune into people's and into their frequencies, their energies. How did you know you could do that? Is that like a special gift you found that you had? Does everyone have this, or is it something you really have to practice?
So I also do psychic readings and tarot readings, and that came, the tarot was something that, again, I picked up out of curiosity and again was obsessively shuffling at night and got a sort of a tarot Bible and would sort of study each of the, you know, all of the symbolism in each of the cards, and then sort of laid onto that a sort of more intuitive approach to it. But I think it really came from shuffling obsessively. That was where I learned how to use the tarot. But the psychic abilities came after actually seeing a healer and an acupuncturist for almost a year. And I, you know, it's a bit like, you know, that when a student is ready, the student will ask. It's almost like the student will go back to the teacher again and again. And I sort of realized that he doesn't sell himself as having sort of deep shamanic gifts. He's just an acupuncturist, or so he says. And I quickly realized that after going to see this healer, I would come away with a much more powerful intuition. And so I went back to him one day after many months and I said, can you actually open my third eye? Can you help me develop this? Because when I shuffle the tarot cards, I sense that there's something more that wants to come through. Mm-hmm. And I can sense that it's knocking on the door, but I can't get it. And so then a few months later, I started having psychic visions when I would be faced with the client.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really cool. And so then working with clients now, do you have rituals and things you do before you go into sessions to open your third eye, to be quite there in the moment with them?
Yes. I always meditate. And then before the reading, or even during the reading, the very beginning, I will open up from the root chakra all the way up to the crown chakra. Okay. So there's a conscious kind of opening up ritual process that can take just up to 5 minutes, connecting with the client's energy.
Do you feel that it's easier to connect with certain clients over others? Do you find that some kind of block their energy, or has it been pretty, they go to you because they really, really are looking for answers and they want guidance?
I find there are definitely some scenarios where it's much stronger and more powerful than other times. And I think maybe that also depends on their openness or their spiritual energy as well. I was recently at an event and I was doing readings at a fashion showroom, and there was this woman that would keep, she was part of the team. So I wasn't actually doing readings for the team, but whenever she would walk past the table, I would pick up on something very strong from her. And finally, at the end of the day, the team started coming over and said, okay, you know, all the clients have gone home. Like, we can have can we come and sit with you? And I said, yes. And the minute she sat down, you know, she came from a lineage of very powerful spiritual, women in her lineage, her mother and grandmother. And I picked up on all of it. But I think because there was that spiritual strength behind her, it was wild. I mean, it was just like, it's been a really long time. You know, it's sort of once, twice a year, you get that kind of impact.
Yeah.
I almost just see everything around them. So family members and tendencies and energy and the daughter and the husband and the whole family, just everything.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
When it's that, strong, it comes through very quickly. And I did ask myself, afterwards, why is that so much more immediate and so much more strong? And I do think that if someone is open, or if they carry that, if there's something strong there, you know, I think if someone is happy-go-lucky in their life and there's not much going on, then I might not necessarily see that much. I will still see their environment, and I will see the family around them. I pick up on a lot of family.
Okay.
Which I guess makes sense, because it's the people that, you know, you spend the most time with, that you're around every day. So I pick up on the energy of someone's romantic partner and someone's offspring as well, a lot.
Okay.
And
do you come from a background of a spiritual family, or are you more the one that's kind of gone in that direction?
I am the first one to go in that direction consciously. Okay. Yeah. I had a grandmother who was the head of a hospital ward and worked a lot with the sick for her entire career, was very involved in the hospital. But apart from that, no, in terms of a more spiritual sense, I'm the only one, that the first branch, let's say.
Yeah, that's really interesting how in certain families we're called, you know, universe, God, whatever, calls us to that direction to help, you know, heal other people, right?
Yeah.
And And so tell me more about your work. So you do birth charts, you do psychic readings, you do tarot, mm-hmm. you also do guidance sessions, one-on-ones. So go a bit deeper into your work and what people can expect from you and yeah, how you find it really helpful. I mean, I found it super helpful. I've had two readings with you, more psychic readings. And I walked away like, okay, this is really powerful. This is awesome. So let's go into more of your work.
So I think I tend to attract women who are curious and sense that there's something more that they're not tapping into. Hmm. So I think that it is interesting that I'd say the majority of my clients are sort of in their late 30s to mid 40s.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I think that that is definitely, I have a lot of women who have young children, and there's just always a curiosity. There's always a sense that there's something else. Often it can be women that actually don't think of themselves as very, very spiritual. You know, they might do yoga occasionally, but they're not really, more just that in their work, whatever they're doing, whether they work in an investment bank or that there's some creativity, which I think that there's just a desire for something more. Yeah. And I think that the divine feminine is fluid and it adapts much more than the divine masculine, right? So the divine masculine is supposed to be sort of the placeholder, the structure, and the divine feminine sort of adapts more around that. So I think when people say, why is it that, you know, it's mostly women that are interested in astrology, I think that that is why, because I think the feminine energy adapts and it's always a bit like a river that if there was a valley to open up, the river would flow into that space. So I think that as we grow, and I think that that age, interesting astrologically, 42 is the age where we have our Uranus opposition. So Uranus takes 84 years to go around the same place where Uranus was when we were born. So 42 is that midpoint, and Uranus rules authenticity. Uranus rules truth and shaking things up. So what's funny is that, you know, I guess it's a bit dated now, but the idea of the midlife crisis, that astrologically holds a lot of ground. It makes perfect sense. Any astrologer knows, oh, the midlife crisis is simply the Uranus opposition, because it's when we fall into that, career, partnership, children, family, home. And then the Uranus opposition comes around and says, aren't you a bit bored? Don't you want to shake stuff up and really, you know, what else is there? What can you do? And I think that's why Uranus actually is a planet that rules astrology. It's asexual. So it's not feminine or masculine. It's Urania. So I have this amazing book from the 1920s on astrology. And it's written in a very sort of medicinal prescriptive way. And it goes through planets, and Uranus is actually Urania. And it's very independent, and it's very all about authenticity. So I think I think I embody a lot of that. So I think I receive a lot of clients who almost want a bit more of a shakeup. Things have maybe gotten a bit stagnant.
Yeah.
And so they come to me to help them channel that and sort of see how they can, you know, maintain, you know, the beauty of their abundance, you know, family, you know, their loved ones and their day to day. While also kind of interacting with the divine in some sense. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really interesting. I was chatting to a friend and she also was helping me get, you know, into more astrology and human design and all these different things. And she said exactly that. She had turned 42 and she said, mm-hmm. I was told by a psychic that at 42 things would be shaken up. And she's like, it's so true. And she explained all that. And it makes sense though. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just turned 40. And I already still feel that bit of that shakeup of, right, you know, you could have 40 more years to live. Now let's really shake things up. Let's find our purpose. Let's really move forward in a better direction. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I find that really, really interesting. Now, so let's talk then about, so do you have one that you prefer over other because you have the birth chart to the psychic, or do you kind of combine all of them together in sessions, or do you like to focus in on one particular thing?
With my coaching sessions, so I do, I coach some clients, you know, I coach them once a week for up to a year, you know, however long they want to stay with me. And we can do a combination. So, okay. It depends what the moment calls for. I think initially, if it's just a one-off session, if someone just wants just a one-off, I usually say that that tarot and psychic readings are good if there's something that's maybe specific, or if there's a scenario, if there's something maybe you want to decide between, or if you feel like your energy is slightly off, whereas astrology is more kind of a general look at many different factors of your life.
Okay.
And it's more, it's big picture, and it also goes into all of the details.
Yeah.
So I think if you have something specific, you know, should I do this, should I do that, then a tarot or a psychic reading is really good at identifying, okay, if we go here, how does it feel? If we go there, how does it feel? You know,
okay,
the two options.
And with astrology, do you live your life by it? Because I know, like, recently when the moon was in Cancer for that whole week, I was really off. Mm-hmm. Emotions were flying everywhere. Do you also live your life by this, with the cycles of the moon?
I do, 100%. Maybe I think I'm quite good at finding the balance of knowing when, okay, I don't need to. I mean, I know, I always actually, now I'm at the point where I always know what the moon is doing. Because I know the cycles. So if I know the date, it's imprinted in my mind, the dates pretty much the next 3 months when the new moon is. And so by that, I know the sign. And so I know every 2.5 days, what sign the moon is going to be in. And yeah, I do. I definitely, and I think it enables me to also, because if you're someone that's ambitious, I think, and you want to do a lot in life, I think working with the moon cycles is really good, because it allows you to say, okay, no, these 2 days are not for that. They are for rest.
Or okay,
these 2 days are, you are, I know that when the moon is in my fifth house of pleasure and fun, it's okay to not work and actually to go and have a late night and to meet people and to socialize. And then when the moon is in my, you know, house of cleanliness and work and service, I do the laundry and we tend to the admin. And I think it gives me that structure. And the more structure I have, the more room there is to play and to, right. So
that's quite interesting that you said that, because I think also naturally my body is in tune with that. Like, there's some more days that I need to attend to the house and that's only my focus, and other days I'm feeling a bit tired. But it's about educating yourself, right, to know those things, to know what's going on.
Yeah. And also to have that permission. So much of astrology is about giving ourselves permission, because, you know, there's always a sense, I think, with society and with social media and everything, that we're always meant to be doing so much and doing everything at once. And I think for me, it really helps to be like, no, that door, you can leave that drawer closed for the next week, because it's not the week for that. Mm-hmm. I think especially if you're maybe an entrepreneur or you work alone, it's important. I really like the way it gives me that natural cycle, where it just gives you permission to only be a homebody, to only focus on the home and the laundry, and that's not just underachieving for those 3 days. That's just sort of what you're meant to be doing, because then 3 days later, when the moon hits your career sector, it's going to be all guns blazing and you've got a lot of stuff to tend to in the outer world. So I think it helps me maximize each of the thing that I'm doing. I think because otherwise you're doing something, but the other half of your mind is saying, oh, but should I be, maybe I shouldn't be just looking after the home Monday, Tuesday. Maybe I should be also, you know, seeing those people and doing all those things. But it allows, I think it delineates things a lot more.
Yeah, it's quite interesting how a lot of us have to retrain our minds to get out of this cycle of what society thinks we should be doing. Because I know that this affects me massively. The whole, I should be doing this, I should be doing this. When actually in the back of your mind, like, really? Do you really need to be doing that? And, you know, and are we function better as a society or individuals, and women especially, if we do give ourselves that rest? Which is quite interesting. So for someone that wants to get started and learning about their cycles, learning about astrology, yes, of course, they can follow you and come to your stuff. But what's a simple way for them to find out if they even kind of have the interest or interest in it?
What's a simple way to find out if they have the interest in it? Honestly, I think maybe seeing any astrologer, an astrologer, and seeing if it triggers anything in them.
Yeah.
You know, I think after the astrology session, even if it's your first, I do sometimes do sessions for someone who thought that they were skeptical, and, you know, they might leave just Feeling like something's been opened for them, at least at the very, yeah, the very least.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
Yeah.
Obviously
yeah.
hardcore skeptics don't often come to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I've had someone, you know, someone has a friend that, you know, says, I actually, you know, encourage them to try it, and they come to me and they try it. My hope is that, and what I sense is that at the end of the hour, they are definitely left a little bit more curious and a bit more open.
Yeah.
And I think the moon cycles is also a good place to start. I think in terms of astrology, like what facet of astrology should one tap into? I think the moon cycles is definitely the most interesting.
Yeah. 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 Because I find it's funny when I'm talking about astrology or spirituality or higher self with friends, you do have a few that are a bit skeptical. Like, I'm not so sure. The interest is there, but I think that there's a misconception with tarot and astrology that when you go get a reading, they're going to tell you something bad. And it's not that at all. It's basically about kind of opening up who you are and guiding you. It's really intuition and guidance, isn't it? To most of the time, what you already know.
I think that's the way I do it. I think there are many astrologers. There are so many different styles out there. Yeah. I've had a reading which I thought was quite dangerous in a way, the way the person did it, in that there was a sense of this will happen to you and you don't really have much choice. And then the way it was presented to me was, but if you can, you know, if you can accept this as your hand, you will have a beautiful, beautiful life. And, you know, it's really just, she was sort of insinuating that I would be infertile, for example, or that this or that. And I just thought it was really dangerous, because I just think that there are some, I've seen it in my own work, that what, you know, it's more about the way I like to work with the planets, is that there's a dialogue. You have to meet the planets halfway. So I'm also, as my own teacher says, you know, I'm not sort of a entertainer astrologer. I can do that on occasion. I think in the beginning we start off that way. So when we give the first birth chart readings, it might be about, oh, and you've got your moon in this, so this is how you are. But for me, it's really about trying to get the person to ask the right questions. What are the planets asking from you at 42? What is this Uranus opposition asking from you? It's about asking you to try and dig and meet the planets halfway and shake up your own life. You make the choice. And the same with something, if there's something negative, like if there's a really, I mean, there are some really tough transits. If you have a really tough Saturn transit, and again, the same thing, like, okay, Saturn is structure, discipline. So how can you really, you know, meet Saturn and stare him down in the eye and let him know that you're not going to let him win, and really rise. And I think, you know, we do need nurturing and sort of help and therapy in those really difficult transits where life just seems awful.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely the way that I work with astrology.
And how do you know, how would someone know if they were to go to someone, I mean, that they're not in the right place or mindset? Because I personally believe as well, you do have to be careful who you go to and open up to. You know, I think most people have really good interests in mind, right? But I guess it's recommendation, no? That you would suggest that someone goes, like, I always recommend you and people will go to you because I truly trust your abilities, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes it is hit and miss. You know, I've gone to see people and been really disappointed afterwards. You know, sometimes there is that. That's also why I started my own practice in the end.
Yeah.
But I think it can be hit or miss sometimes, and sometimes you've got to see what's right for you.
Yeah.
I think there are different astrologers. There are, and it depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for something that's actually going to push you to develop and to grow and to transform, I'm definitely that kind of astrologer. Whereas there are other, sometimes people just want it more as a kind of, oh, isn't that interesting? Kind of like a reading a magazine that then you put down and you go on with your day and it hasn't really affected you that much. Like that was a nice moment, you know?
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's quite interesting. It's funny because, you know, so many people think it's just your horoscope, right? And it goes so much deeper. And that's the one thing trying to educate people is like, no, that's not it at all. Dig deeper, because there's so much more for you to know.
Yeah.
And yeah. because it's funny because, you know, I'm a Capricorn, but then I'm a, you know, and then I have a rising Capricorn sign, then I have my moon is Cancer, you know, it's all over the place. And then Saturn is so much into my, in my life and in mm-hmm. my chart. It's constantly trying to rule me.
Yeah.
And once you get to know those things, you know, you kind of understand yourself a bit better, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And so do you, when you've like come into like a new relationship with someone, do you read their chart and see how it kind of corresponds with yours at all?
A new relationship, you mean personal relationship?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Definitely. Always. Always. I think, for me, I think it limits time wastage.
Okay, fine.
But even not even just romantic, you know, whether it's anything, whether it's living with someone, working with someone, how does the person interact? It's always interesting. And sometimes if someone new comes into your life, you know, okay, well, what are they, the relationship astrology, which is something that I'm soon going to be sort of offering.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about that.
At the moment, is really, you know, I believe that, you know, our relationship, sometimes we are better together than alone. And that's the ideal relationship where we trigger something in the other.
Yeah.
And so you can see that from the way the planets interact when you're looking at two people's charts. Okay, what is this person giving? Maybe it's, there's an element of your chart that needs more solid ground or the foundation to actually really bloom and rise. And okay. that person might have a planet triggering that to give you that solid ground so that then that part of you can flow. You know, finding the yin to your yang type thing.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So what do you trigger in the other person? And there can be a lot of healing between charts. You know, there's a lot of inner child stuff that often goes on between two romantic partners. So, you know, one person, you know, maybe there's the masculine healing the feminine in the other and vice versa, you know, sort of, yeah.
Oh, well, that's really interesting to think about the interaction of inner child. Because there's been so much, I mean, I've been personally doing a lot of work with inner child recently with my therapist. So I find that really interesting. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, because the moon in astrology is also, you know, how we were nurtured and nourished as a child and our first relationship with the home and with the mother.
Yeah.
So often, and actually the moon is a very important planet to look at when you're doing romantic relationships in astrology, because obviously it's how at home does the other person make you feel.
Okay.
The moon is safety as well. So it's, you know, you're never going to want to be with someone long-term if the outside, you know, it's like you can meet that person at that party and be fascinated and it can be so stimulating and exciting, but then it wouldn't work if you were to live together or long-term because there's not that kind of deep, nurturing, kind of peaceful, like housing of the inner child or the sort of internal stuff.
Okay. That's so interesting because my husband's a Cancer, my best friend's a Cancer, and my mother's a Cancer. And it's my opposite sign. It's like, wow. Okay. Very, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Now tell me about, you've just started a membership.
Yes.
Are you also going to be offering courses as well, astrology courses, or are you going to wait on that a bit?
I am. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be offering more courses. I think the time has come. I've been getting a lot of requests from different people. So I sort of really want to start giving people, I think, the basic tools of astrology, like the moon cycles, showing people how you can use them on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and how it can become something that actually, I think post-pandemic as well, helps us kind of exit the rat race a little bit and sort of really start to live in a more authentic, natural way.
Yeah.
And connect with the deeper parts of ourselves. But my membership is also so that I think people who maybe don't want to go for the full hour-long reading, so they can have FaceTime with me. So I'm going to be offering, you know, it's not fully structured yet, but maybe, you know, once a month, a one-to-one workshop for an hour where I can answer anyone's questions, no matter how random or how specific, about astrology. And also so that I can give more readings. So, you know, if you sign up, you get a full moon reading for each month. Because at the moment, I'm just putting out new moon readings on my site. But if you have a membership, then you also get a full moon reading. And I'm also creating these guides for each of the 12 signs.
Nice.
So that for each lunar cycle, if you want to read about it, you have access for your moon sign, your Venus sign, your sun sign, if you're really into it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of... audio readings, and you can also read about what in more depth what that lunar cycle really wants from you and what it's about.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I can't wait to check this out. This is so nice. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, cool. That's good. And I will make sure that all you guys listening will find Hedy and all these kind of things as well. Is there anything you want to tell us about what's going on at the moment in the moon cycle, the universe? Anything that we can take away from today?
Well, we had a new moon just 2 days ago, or a day and a half ago, and it was, although it was in Cancer, it's very quickly already moved into Leo.
Okay.
And it's linking up with a Venus Mars conjunction in Leo. So what's quite interesting is that Mars only is in a sign every 2 years. So the last time Mars was in Leo was in 2019. And it's actually a very joyful, heart opening conjunction, but there's a lot of stuff right now about relationship and also about finances. Right.
Yeah.
And Venus is love and money and relationship, but it's also the ability to receive.
Mm.
And Mars is passion and sexuality, and also competition, which is interesting because we just had the Euro Cup. So it's interesting that the Euro Cup is also, every time Mars is in Leo, I think we have some competitive sport thing on, because Leo rules games and Mars is competition. But really with Mars and Venus together, that conjunction perfects tomorrow on the 13th. But it's just a really, it's a very joyful, heart opening time. But we do still have Saturn in Aquarius kind of staring down this, because Leo and Aquarius are opposite signs, kind of staring us down. So I think overall, we're all still sort of, Saturn is structure, Aquarius is the collective. So for the next 2 years, it's very much about, okay, how are we restructuring
our
collective life?
Yeah.
What I find really interesting that I've really started to notice more and more is that whenever there are celebrities scattered across social media, that you start to see multiple posts of that celebrity on blogs or being reposted, there's usually always a link to the current astrology. And this week I saw Robin Williams, and Anthony Bourdain is always one that comes up during Cancer season.
Okay.
Because, you know, Cancer is the belly, and it's nourishment and it's food. And Leo is the heart space. And it's creativity, it's expression. And I saw this Instagram montage of Robin Williams with this quote from one of his, his films, where he talks about how, we live for, engineering and maths and science. Yes, they're noble pursuits, but we live for poetry, we live for art, and that's what makes our hearts, sing, and what also makes our hearts break. And I just thought it was so beautiful, this Cancer Leo, we have this new moon in Cancer, but there's so much Leo energy with Venus and Mars there. It's all about the heart. So it's a very raw July, August. So it's beautiful.
Oh, completely. Raw is always beautiful, isn't it? And I think it's, especially now, people are really focusing in on, since we're opening back up, life's starting to kind of get on. It is that, who are your connections? Who are you loving? Who do you want around?
Yeah.
Where do you want to put your... Yeah. Where do you want to put your feelings? Right.
So true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is really interesting. I think this is a good awakening for people, but also people might be a little bit, they need this time because they've been so locked up for so long. It's where do I want to go with this now? That's really powerful. Interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Now, a question that I ask everyone, and what is your future self? What do you see yourself doing? How would you describe your future self?
Oh gosh. Oh, that's a big question. My future self. I would like to start to, teacher, definitely teacher of astrology. Astrologer for life, forever. Yeah. Healer. I think I would like to do relationship astrology and relationship healing for couples. Nice. Definitely. So couples astrology therapy. Potentially dipping my toe into the tantric world.
Ooh, cool.
Tantric and sort of, spiritual sexuality.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I have my, that's what I'm sensing moving towards.
Oh, that's really interesting about the tantric and sexuality, because it's so much healing that can be done there, right? And and especially relationships, because a lot of times that can also be where certain problems arise is through that. So that's really cool. That as well. Now, Hedy's going to be coming back on here, reoccurring and talking about what she's learning and give us some more insight on what's going on in astrology in the universe. So I'm looking forward to having her back on here. And also, please do connect with her, become a member, and have a session with her, because I know firsthand how powerful they are and how it can really help and guide you to the next step in your life. So thanks, Hedy. I really appreciate all your knowledge and teaching us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like what you're hearing, please like us, subscribe, and tell your friends. You can follow us on Instagram, The Future Edit. And for more information about my guest and myself, you can head to thefutureedit.com. Until next time, ciao.